listen and then make notes.
Okay.
I know, a little different today.
I'm going to go ahead and get started then. First, well, let me make sure. I believe I've got everybody's information here. I believe get except for Pam. I don't know if I have yours or not. So I've got me, David, we got Mike, Pam Langerman, Clark Peterson, Jay Gonzalez, and Maxwell Christensen. So again, so I believe I've got everybody's information, emails, and everything except for Pam. And if you don't want me to share it, that's fine.
No,
if
that's
you don't,
fine.
Yeah, okay.
So we don't have to fill anything out right now, or you want us to?
No, I've got all your information already, right? I've got your email address, your phone number. Yeah, so.
You probably have mine on the old stuff.
I probably do. I just didn't. Oh, I do have it. Wait, never mind. I've got it right here. Pam Langer.
Can you tell me the phone number that you have on that?
480-793-8928. Okay, I'm sorry. All right. So, first, let's see, I'm going to go down the agenda here, best I can. So, call the order, done that roll call, we've got that essentially, and approved minutes from last meeting. This time I brought a copy, I don't know. This is what you get when maybe Anna will be doing the minutes next time. This is what you get when I do the minutes. So, this is the last minutes, and you can either just say that they're approved and we can move on, or if you would like to try to make an effort to read through it.
I got one more gentleman coming here.
Okay.
Well, I propose that we approve minutes from our last meeting. I don't know if everybody's had a chance to read them.
Oh, second.
Huh?
Second, I guess with both of us here.
Okay.
The meeting minutes are on the website. I don't know if anybody's.
Anybody want to second these minutes?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. You're welcome to look at them. Of course, they're on the website.
And Brent Layton.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got one more attending. I've got your information too, so. At least I believe I do. I know I've got your phone number. I don't know if I need your email address. If you want me to have it, you could write it on here. What's that?
I will write it on.
Okay.
I can do it later.
Okay.
You know what I would like? I'd like for you to look at this map
okay. And
put a check mark by your house so you can kind of see.
Can I borrow a pen? I didn't bring one. I brought everything else but a pen.
Yeah.
One thing is that we should say that we are missing a third trustee here. That would be we're missing Brett Kellis. He's the other trustee, but we do have two out of three trustees, so we have a quorum, so we can go ahead and continue.
He's attending a funeral, or what was it?
Yeah. He said he was out of town on something like a funeral. I don't know if that's exactly what he said, but yeah. Next item of business here was to review the financial status of the district. Now, when I sent this out, I made mistakes. Oh, got another person?
I'm late.
Okay. And who do we have joining us?
She went to wash her hands.
Oh, okay. I made a mistake on this. I made two omissions and one mistake where I said that Lentz Landscape was $975, it was $925, which is kind of minor, but I omitted two expenses that we had, and one was $584.04, and that was when I paid GoDaddy to have web hosting. and it goes for 3 years. The other item was $100, and I'm assuming that it was the insurance bond for Brent Kellis because I didn't see it on my list. Yeah. So, and also I had stick $850 on the bottom. That hasn't been paid, so that'll be on next fiscal year's. So, what it came out to is, instead of $22,401, we've got $21,767. That also reduces our reserve to $23,750 next year. This is on the, I posted the revised version on the website too.
Did you also correct the 2 years, 2025?
I did. I believe I caught that. Let's see.
Line,
it's 6/30/2027 on this version. I can pass this around if anyone wants to review it. Let me put down.
I'm Blaine Nelson.
Blaine Nelson.
I was 10th place.
I think I've got you on attending. Let's see. Have you attended?
I know I've attended before.
You're not on my list. I'm going to put your name down, and I think I might have your information, but I might need that too. We're running out of pens. I'm going to go and look for find another one.
We're okay. We can share them back.
Okay. Oh, can I borrow that one for a second here? Blaine Nelson.
Yeah, BLAINELSON.
Okay.
865 West 10th. Place.
That down, let's see.
Place, not street.
Now, if you've, I might already have your email address and your telephone number, but if you want to put it on.
Oh, my number's probably changed since I've got a cell number there.
Looks like we've got a lot of damage. Are these caused by our friends doing the work on all the various telecommunications, or is this just wear and tear?
It is pretty much. Wear and tear. Let me see. We can go through these. Farsight Construction. That was the first one. That was on. Linda Dorothy. Across the street from you. They relocated the line in the back because the other one couldn't be repaired. So that was the line that went to the valve in her backyard. And I actually talked about that briefly at the end of the last meeting. I don't know if you recall or not. Actually, briefly, probably on and on. Then standpipe gates. We needed to, on the 1029, the standpipe gates. This was that necessary to replace the two gates on one that serves Jay Gonzalez at the end of there on Westwood between 9th Place and 10th Street because it had slide gates and we finally got them replaced. It was last one on our list of things to do, and I think it made things a lot easier. That was the last one where we have two gates and one standpipe, and that using slide gates was really awkward, especially there because that one is the only one that turns after. Well, not the only one, but you have to shut both of them and then it'll fill up all the way and then open one, and that's really hard to do with slide gates. But now with the turn-type gates, that doesn't have to be done.
Not to mention the fact that one of those slide gates was rusted off. That's
right. You're on that one, too. And the last one was the big money part of it. Was $6,000 to replace 72 feet of damaged concrete. That was, I believe, Brian Carrick. He just had a really badly degraded, problematic pipe. And so rather than try to repair each little leak, we replaced it with they call it like
PVC?
PIP, which stands for plastic irrigation pipe, believe it or not. So we put the PIP out there. Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Boo. Thanks, Shane.
Engine 218, move up. 324, South Elma School Road. Engine 218, School Road.
Let's go.
Engine 218.
Okay.
They visited me twice in the last few months. So I've been, I've been passing out like for an unknown reason, but it only happened like once every 6 months to a year. It started before I retired, like 6 years ago. And then, but it just would happen. I'd wake up on the floor and then, what's this about? And then I'd be fine. And then like 6 months later, happen again, you know, but it started happening a little more frequently. And then on February 8th, it was where I didn't show up at church. My pastor tries to call me. I don't answer. So he comes over and I don't respond to the door. So he calls the fire department and the police got in the house, found me on the floor, out cold. Mm. I spent 4 days in the hospital and they diagnosed it as a seizure.
Oh.
And, but no, unknown cause. They've been trying for, sorry to take up your time, 2 years to figure out what is causing it. And they haven't. Done multiple brain scans, MRIs, nothing wrong in the brain. Done the heart, wore the heart pack for 2 days. Couldn't find anything wrong with my heart. Done the ultrasonic scan of the heart, nothing wrong there. Can't find anything wrong with me. But then I went to say, I got out of the hospital, they put on this anti-seizure medication. And I take one of those twice a day. And I did have a little bit of an incident in March where my next door neighbor came over to ask me to pick up some mail. While I'm talking to him, I froze up. I didn't lose my balance and pass out, but I just couldn't talk. So then that was the second time he called. The guys here came out. By the time they got there, he was checking me out. I started to recover. So. But since then, the anti-seizure meds seems to be doing the trick. The weird thing is, my brother has the exact same condition, I found out. It's on the same medication. Can't find it out what it is on him either. So it's obviously genetic, but neither of our parents had anything like that.
Well, we hope we get that under control.
I hope so, yeah.
You're at the right place.
It's annoying since I'm retired now, which is nice. I live alone. I edit Wikipedia. It's my pastime.
Nothing. You're looking at me. I was wondering if anyone wants, I've got maps left over from last year. Does anyone, they're kind of, you know, if we end up talking about stuff, I'll just put them here, and if you need to refer to them, we can. Moving on to the next, well, actually, we're still on the financial history, and we're going to have to okay the budget, right? Financial history. So, again, there have been some changes in the amounts. We paid more than I thought. I left off the about 600, let's see, $600 odd. And also, we're going to have some expenses right off at the beginning of the new year. We're going to have to pay for mailings. There's one more Premier Irrigation, which, by the way, so I've got two Premier Irrigation payments. And one other expense. Oh. Mike Lentz to pay for his work on the alley cleanups. So those will probably be paid next week. So that will start off the fiscal year with probably not quite as much as of, you know, we did last year, where the first one last year was like 2,980. But this year we will start off with having to make payments. The budget. Which I made out here. This is something that I needed to ask you about, David, because I just kind of assumed that we're going to continue with the same amount as we have been and not raise.
Yes, that's what we recommend.
Okay, but should be aware that we're going to have a lot less of reserve, but I think we'll build it up because we've had exceptional costs this year that, well, could keep on doing it next year too, but we can make it through 1 year, and if we need to adjust it, we could do it next year. So the levy will remain the same, and for David's property, it's going to be a lot more than mine because, of course, it's based on your acreage. My it came out to $66.38 for me with 45 minutes of irrigation. So that's probably, if you ever look at your tax, the bill that they send you, it will say on there how much you're paying for the irrigation. So in that case, I move that we continue with the budget remaining the same as it is last year.
I'll second that. So basically we're saying that it's going to be a $14,950 levy.
Yeah.
Which is the same as last year that hits your taxes.
Okay, yes. It's, so seconded.
Unless somebody doesn't pay.
Since we're actually the only ones whose votes count, let's just say it's unanimously passed here, and I'll go ahead and sign it right now. What the heck? These are due July 1st, so we've got time to get those in. All right, so that's done.
That part's done.
Yeah, and this again, it's exactly the same as last year, except for the dates.
We have to send this stuff in to some
the county. The county demands it. I don't really understand, because we say we want only 13,000 and then they stick on this 15% for delinquency. Well, we still get like this entire amount, 14,950. So I don't really understand
how
that
works. It's just a game they play I assume that that's a
If you look at it, it actually came out pretty close. We came out with income of $15,243 last year, but that does include the interest. But still, it's pretty close to the amount that the total estimated revenue. So even whether I understand it or not, that works out.
That's a pretty good interest rate.
Let's see. I think I broke out the interest on the second page, didn't I? If you're interested in how much is interest and how
well,
much.
Well, yeah, you said what it is, but I'm just saying that's a pretty good rate.
Let's see. $856 in interest on, well, what came out to be around $22,000 at the end of the year.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, Michael. We were just talking about you, believe it or not.
Oh, no.
Okay, we've got Michael Kielski here also. What we were discussing isn't on the agenda, so technically we can't discuss it right now, but we can bring it up at the end of the meeting as nine for next year's. And again, with these... these are the rules, but we can talk about it anyway. But not in the meeting, not right now anyway. So I'm going to try to get through this agenda here. We're on actually, we've got the attendance. I don't want to introduce you right now, but does everybody know Michael? If you don't, this is Michael Kielski. Website status and next steps. I've got the website. I bought a secure socket layer for it, so it's HTTPS now.
It's a certificate.
Yeah, certificate, right. And I made sure it's just kind of strange, but anyway, the certificate is installed, and the way the guy told me you can tell is if you go into like private browsing, you can see the website, then you know that it has a certificate, and that was good. And then, as I mentioned before, I did pay for PHP, and I'm missing this. Oh, I think it's on there.
You said five.
Oh, no, it's on here. Yeah, let's see. No. PHP, oh, Jay, do you have it? It would be the $542 one near the bottom.
It's like GoDaddy.
Yeah, GoDaddy for web.
Yeah.
For web hosting, and that just means that I can go in there and do stuff with it, and that's for 3 years for web hosting, and makes it a lot easier to edit the website and such.
Yep.
And 582 seems a lot, but it's spread over 3 years. I'm still paying for the domain names. I don't mind. It's not much.
$33 a year.
It's pretty small. But I've got two domain names because when I originally set them up, I had CCEINet as an option too, and I've never used it. And I thought, well, I can sell it. They say it's like worth over $1,000, but I don't know how to sell it. So it just sits there and I keep on paying for it.
On GoDaddy, if you log in, you can say where they tell you it's worth something.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, that's where it says.
Just let them handle it.
I don't know. They refer you to another company and another thing because I tried it once and it turned out to be a major hassle. And I didn't understand it. I had to have another login to another site and I just gave up. I might in the future, or if someone else ends up managing the website, they're free to sell it. But since I've been paying for it, I guess it's still in my name. I also get another benefit is that I've got another website that's not up and running yet. But I can use that PHP on both of them. If it comes up as an issue in the future, I can always reimburse for how much it's worth. But right now, I haven't really made use of it. What else did I have about the website? Brent Kellis asked about whether we should keep track of the visitors and such, which we're not doing now. There is a free utility through Google that counts how many visitors and such you have. I can't remember what it's called, but it's probably something that I'll just go ahead and tack on there. But I can't tell you right now like how many visitors we've had and such.
Do we need to know that?
I don't think technically we do. The website has to be there even if no visitors come. If it's just sitting there and nobody ever visits it, we still need it because there are certain things that we have to post on there, like the meetings and such. So it really is an asset. We would have a hard time without the website.
I'd suggest that we just leave it the way it is until there's a need to keep track of who goes on or how many.
Yeah, I don't think if there's a motion on this, but we can go ahead and.
We just won't do anything with Brent's proposal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I might. Again, it won't cost anything if I do. It's just something that it's not a big priority with me, and I'm not going to bring it up or put it on the agenda again unless somebody asks. Maybe I'll have that information next time, maybe I won't, if that's okay. I don't think we need a motion on this. If we can't really make a motion to keep things as they are, maybe we should. I don't know. What do you think?
Just leave it the way it is.
Okay.
Yes.
So does it, evidently the schedule doesn't get posted on the website. We don't use it for that.
No.
Is it two completely separate?
It has a link. I'm not sure if it works. I could check it out. Let's see. Kind of where will. Yeah.
So I have two properties. Each one of them is in a separate IWDD. We just recently, I got on the phone with the folks at SRP Water, and we now get text messages 3 to 4 days ahead of time and the day ahead of time of the water. And that's the most used. Plus, and those text messages and emails have a link in it to the current schedule. And that's the most useful way, if you're completely not able to do things on a phone or email, that doesn't work. But if you are used to that, that's really the best way to get notified.
Yeah, I've got notifications also. Yeah, so that's helpful. There, as you can go in with your SRP login and bring up the complete schedule of everybody and their times. The other thing is you don't really need an SRP login for that. They post another schedule without the names, but with just the addresses. At least they used to, and I'm not sure, but that's the link that I have on the website. So, yeah. Moving on here, where am I?
Round number four.
Okay. Status proposed boundary change. We talked about this at the last meeting. What's the name again? Is it the Dr. J?
It's this spot right here.
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
There's actually two lots.
Is that up by the golf course?
No.
No.
Nope.
This is the Eureka Canal.
Okay. Hang on. Let me get my map.
Yeah.
This is Rio Salado right here.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you go down eighth
place, one in pink
cul-de-sac,
mm-hmm.
and it's right there. The power I have circled.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's on the schedule. He gets water. He's not within our district boundaries, so he doesn't get taxed like we do for the maintenance of the line. And I believe, how come I can't bring up his name right now?
That's right. It's
Jason Wright?
Jason Wright.
Yeah.
Dr. Wright.
Yeah. Now, I did do a little bit more research on this, how to, you know, try to get him in our district. And it seems kind of really involved. It's essentially going through the same process we did when we set up the entire district, except I think if, as far as the petitions go, there'd be like one petition with one name on it that he could sign and be done with it. But they still are saying that you need to announce it and have a public hearing on it and announce a hearing. Publish it in two newspapers, and it all seems like more trouble than it's worth it. So I'm just as happy if there's, I don't know, there might be a way that we could come.
I'll do this. Let's find out about what he would pay, and I'll ask him to write a check to our district once a year and take care of it.
We could do it that way, but we don't know for sure.
I see on the map there's a pink lot.
That's it. That is the property as far as I'm aware of. It's kind of strange.
His actual lot is the gray one next to it.
There's two lots.
Okay.
Right? Okay, one's vacant.
Yeah.
One is where his house is.
Okay, so it's
why would they have included that in the first place? Because there's no name on it or something.
802 and 804. Well, that's not the only one, I think, where... There's some strange things like that where, yeah.
So is there now, there's there a pipe there?
Yes.
It's not being used or we have to install?
It is used.
He gets water already.
Okay.
Right, but he wasn't getting water when we set up the district, so we assumed that he wasn't getting water, period. So he got left out of the district boundary, which is the green line on here. So, but then afterwards he started taking water again and on the...
So none of those houses along the north of 8th place get water?
On the south side, his is the only one on the north side of 8th place, but that pipe that goes there also serves the property on properties on Heritage. So the pipe goes, it used to go all the way and go under the street and go to Nancy White's property, but right now it doesn't. We reroute it to Nancy's White, but there is a line that goes right along there, along where that green line is. It's got little question marks underneath it. Yeah.
We still mark it, but we don't know if it's gone.
Well, anyway, I kind of like David's suggestion. On the other hand, we could just say we could come up to I'll make an agreement that he will pay for the repairs. Well, it doesn't, it's still kind of weird. See, if we have any issues on there other than his property, we've got to pay for it. So
what I'm suggesting is rather than spend a ton of time and effort to go through a legal process to include him, which would result in him getting a property tax bill and paying $60 or $120 a year, whatever it happens to be, we'll just collect the money from him the same and deposit it directly into our account.
I don't know how to
possible.
Do that.
Is that possible?
It is if we can get a check, but you've got the deposit slips. I've never even tried to do a deposit to our account
before. We did one early on. I can't remember.
We did one deposit initially when we first started the district because we had a bunch of money.
I think it'd be easier to figure out how to put it in the account rather than.
I just didn't know if that's even allowed since this is a tax connected account.
I don't see any reason why we can't make deposits. Well, maybe it would be easier to just come to some kind of an understanding with him that if we have issues, we'd like him to share in the payment. But I'll tell you what I really don't want to do is see this on the agenda again and return to it every time, maybe one more time. Could you reach out to Jason Wright? And
I'm sure he'll be happy to.
And, you know,
we'll figure out what his acreage is and what his assessment would be.
Yeah, but how to make use of that money is the question, because I don't know if we can deposit it into our account.
I'll find out.
Michael?
Have you discussed this with with the folks at Maricopa County that are supposed to be our support? Have you discussed it with SRPC?
I asked them. I reached out to them. I said, how can we do this? And she said, well, it's kind of the same process as when you set up the district just in miniature. And then she gave me a document that goes through and outlines the requirements. And that's what I was saying on this document, that's with the requirements, says you have to like do it's got a lot of steps on it that it's not just simply going out and asking him, to join the district. But it's possible.
What about the other two or three properties on the north side of the 8th Place cul-de-sac that are not currently on the schedule? They should be within the district because they're on the pipe.
Well, they're not getting irrigation right now, so I know these apartments are in the district too.
Yeah.
And they're not on it. We excluded those because they're not there. Actually, even this the properties on what is it up on the very far north side? Would it be 11th Place? Yeah, they don't get water, but they're still part of them are in the district. When they made this thing up, I don't know when it was. I've never seen the document. All I have is the map. And this is the map also that slices right through your property. It actually excludes it, if you'd like to see. Have you seen that? Or?
Yeah, it's excluded, except I'm paying. So.
Right. But you have to like get your water from somebody else because they said you're not getting it. And you're not the only one that does that. There's also a property on is it 1001 West Mountain View? He's in the same situation. He's getting water, and I guess he must get it from somebody else, and I think he gets it from the person not 1001. It's 1007 North Mountain View, by the top there where there's a little spur. So he's outside the red line, so he's not within the irrigation district, but he did extend a pipe to his property, and he does get water.
This is the green line of this district.
The green line is the water delivery district that we set up. The red line is SRP's version of where the water should, of what's in our district. Yeah. Does that make any sense?
My suggestion to you, honestly, is to go ahead and if you're going to make an agreement with the property owner, get it in writing between the property owner and the State's Irrigation Water Delivery District. So it's in writing. Because if it's not in writing, then it may or may not because it affects property rights, it may or may not have any effect unless it's in writing. Yeah. But alternatively, I would do it in parallel. I would start going through those tedious steps of doing that process and let him know we're starting that process, but here's an alternative. If you want to save everybody some time and hassle, we can reach a written agreement that you will bind yourself and the property to paying this and this much every year. And then you can work out how to deposit that money into that account. I'm sure it's not going to be an issue at all. It is the account of a regular bank, or is the account with the Miracle County?
It's with the county.
Okay. Well, then, again, that would be a question for the county, saying, hey, we have a special thing here, and we're going to reach an agreement with them. They're going to pay into this fund so that they're part of the system process that. And if they say no, then there's your answer. But if they say, yeah, we can handle it, then...
That might be, actually, if we could just... that would tie into what you do. If we find a way that we can just simply get him to
deposit the money.
Yeah.
We may pay a vendor the wrong amount and they give us money back. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to suggest that I don't want to start the process right now. I could look into it again and make sure I've got the details right. So this probably will end up on the agenda again next year. The motion that I'm going to make is that David Palmer will look into whether we can reach an agreement with Jason Wright to...
Palmer Collection Agency will take care of that.
Yeah.
And we will get something in writing to
see if we can...
Jason's going to be easy to work with.
Oh, yeah.
Engine 223 and metal 2218, CDEC 3, code, ambulance response, code 255, West Brown Road, engine 223 and metal 2218, CDEC 3,
and metal 2218,
CDEC 3. I didn't hear all of that.
Well, the thought process is I've got my wife's got an uncle in the Praxis Water Law in Phoenix. Maybe there's something you can look at this document and say...
I think we can call the county and take care of this. Just get a document in writing from Jason.
Yeah, if we can get that away. So,
I think it's important that it be a calculated, determinant contribution annually.
Based off his acreage.
Right, the same as we have to pay.
Rather than letting him help pay for a repair.
Right.
Because all of us are contributing to that.
We do, because that way, if he has issues with his valve and such, I don't want to tell him that you have to take care of it yourself. That's the way we've done it, actually. Originally, we said, hey, you're responsible for your own valve. I think he's got a structure in his backyard there, too, not to mention that the pipe goes through his property. So, yeah, I don't know how to word this motion. Can do you?
I'll go work that out with him. Technically, we've all been paying in for the last 10 years. I'm going to throw that at him.
Well, he hasn't asked for anything in return.
And so on here, but I'm sure I can work something for with them there.
Okay, so I move that we let David work this out with Jason Wright according to what we discussed. Second motion passed?
Yes, passed.
Motion passed. Okay, and it will still be on the agenda next time. We'll see how that ended up. On to the next item. How are we doing time-wise? I don't know. Shoot, it's ready. Well, no, that's not so bad. I say we start at 10 like we usually do. Where are we?
Five.
Update on involvement from other members. Well, Maxwell Christensen has been helping out a lot with the AZ811 stuff. I still have some other stuff to do. And his wife, Anna, has agreed to be secretary, at least as far as writing up the minutes. So that way, maybe we won't end up with a huge, long document. Other than that, let's see.
Jordan, this is where you were going to maybe talk a little bit about, other than everybody calling Jody or the other trustees with the problem, there may be people who live right in the neighborhood who are more familiar with the neighbors and their issues, and they can help as a volunteer, not officially be a trustee, but help out.
I think that came up last year.
I think we talked about that last time.
Let's see.
And so, for example, my son lives on 9th Street. I was trying to convince him, okay, he'd be the go-to guy for all the people up and down on 9th Street. And if somebody forgets to take the water or whatever, I'm calling you, not me, and deal with the issues that they might have. And, you know, when the water is shut off for a period of time, and then people first start taking it again, they forget, and they don't sign up, or they didn't remember they did sign up, and it creates a lot of issues of people not getting their water or flooding or whatever the case may be.
So,
and really, we need a lot more neighbor involvement on educating people, especially if somebody new moves into the neighborhood.
That reminds me. Actually, this goes back to the budget part that we've already done, but well, we've got two people are wanting that haven't had irrigation this long before like 1995 want to start the irrigation again. They're within the boundaries, there's no issue with it, but that means that we'll have two more houses to within two more houses that we have to respond to. And
they're in the boundaries already.
They are, but there's also, because they're within the boundaries, they don't know where their valves are. It's possible that one of these people found their valve already, but the other one, he doesn't even know where it is. And if their valves have been sealed off or have been completely damaged or something, we'd have to put in the
but
valves.
But they've been paying taxes all this time.
Right,
so
right. But we would,
the district, so right. That's our responsibility.
But that would be an expense. We'd be putting in valves, just like we did for Linda Dorothy's yard. So we might end up having to do that. One of the property owners, I think she's already reached out and had a company do it for her. So I don't even know. I was going to give her a call. She's on Wick Circle on the very south side of it. They had a swimming pool. They filled in the swimming pool and they want to put irrigation in their yard. I don't know what the progress is on that yet, although there was an AZ811 ticket for the irrigation saying that, you know, they want to install the irrigation on there. It wasn't through Premier, it was some other company, so I don't know. There's not many companies that can do this irrigation.
Well, if we're paying for it, we have to be the ones to hire the contractor.
We're not, though, at this point.
They're going to do it. Okay.
So far, we never mentioned the fact that if you need a new valve, we're going to pay for it. I didn't say that, so I'm not going to. I mean, yeah, apparently, you know, filling in the pool and doing all this other work, putting in the irrigation valve might be a small part of the total cost. Okay, so going back to where we were, what you're suggesting is that we have like some people in the neighborhood for each, just have more people to call, but how would we get word out that these are people?
It would have to be a volunteer basis. Grant Layton would say, okay, I'll handle 9th Street west of
Westwood's.
Well, it's interesting because, well, what I have been doing in the past, I haven't been bothering David very much with this. I call Bob Sulliver whenever there's an issue right off. He seemed to know a lot of other people in the neighborhood more than I do, certainly. But there's actually an issue between Brant Layton and Jay Gonzalez on this street where the person...
No, it's not Jay. It's not Jay Gonzalez. It's Jay Arnett.
Jay Arnett. I put you down as Gonzalez.
I am Gonzalez.
He is Gonzalez, but Jay Arnett's who we have the issue with.
No, it's not Jay Arnett. It's, let's see.
What's the issue?
Jay Arnett's on the corner of 10th Street.
No, no, this is between your two houses. Do you know an Alan Bird?
Oh, yeah. Alan. Yeah. Yeah, what's wrong with Alan?
He's been getting the water of a person that is just Dave Fisher. So Alan Bird is getting married. Dave Fisher can't get his own water. Alan Bird is going to be moving out, so he doesn't have a person to open his irrigation gates. And also,
Alan Bird is not a property owner.
He's been doing the gate. He's been opening.
For Taylor's?
Yeah. For Fisher. Yeah.
Fisher, Dave can't move really.
Right.
Yeah. So without Alan Bird there, he's got a problem that he can't open his, he can't do the gates. So that's the kind of issue where if we had like a neighborhood person there.
Greg McDowell might be able to help.
Well, Bob is on it now, but okay. I'm not sure if you have that one. You know, that might be the kind of position that you're saying, instead of calling Bob every time, why don't we have someone in there?
But it's just that's, like right here. Folks know more about it than we do.
Yeah, but parceling up these, how to get that accomplished, I'm not sure of.
Just like Miss Wellington, we own a couple of properties on other IWCs.
Yeah.
Right. And I am a trustee on the Fraser Fields Water District there. We do have street captains there. Everybody is committed to monitoring the street.
Okay, that's...
But it takes a very active trustee board to meet, to send that passion to that volunteer group. Hey, water's coming down your street, we're moving water there. And that street captain is now alerted, saying, all right, I'm gonna get a call. But it is, it's flyers on doors, it's A-frames that we have on the corners of that street that are active, and they're green. The green board, we have a red board, and when our street on Fraser East is done, we put the red board up, saying, hey, no more water down here. The green board just moves throughout the property. It's only a four-lane property out of there. So
you guys are doing already what we're suggesting.
Yeah, but it takes a very active trustee.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it all done digitally?
No, our website is up, but it's all visual. People are driving in and out, and they see the boards. They know what street the board is, the water's coming.
Oh.
Yeah, usually you find out when somebody forgets and it overflows, and you see it running down the street. Yeah.
There's a group, right, for text messages for all, we call them street leaders. Hey, you're now live. You're Fraser Middle, you're Fraser West, you're Fraser East. You're live, you're good to go, but we're all on the same.
So I've got an email list of like everybody that's attending these meetings, and I've said in the past that you know, if you're attending the meetings or otherwise you've been involved in some way, you're, as far as I'm concerned, you're part of the committee. We could ask to, you know, for volunteers of street captains. Right now, I'm not sure it would be nice not to have me getting all the calls all the time and having to send people out. But I've been managing, it's not a part that I'm really, and it hasn't been that bad lately.
I haven't had... If we do volunteer, like for example, I could probably do my street, but, you know, like I can look at the map and say, okay, well, I know where the valves are and standpipes are. I know kind of where to open them and stuff like that. It'd be better just to have you walk with me, train me on what needs to happen. Especially, good examples, we had a neighbor that didn't get water, and I think it was the Northeast. They didn't get water one time, and it was probably because their valve was closed because they were doing a bunch of construction. So that's one of that little bit of training could be helpful too.
What's your responsibility to cut it? I don't want water, right? And cut my water for the month.
Yeah, under construction. Yeah.
Teaching people the responsibility of their water is an important thing.
It's tough.
If it floods my basement, you know, they may have to pay for it. And they, and if they just say, well, I'm not going to take the water because I'm busy, and they don't open their valve, you got to deal with it.
They were the opposite case. They were opening their valve and there was nothing there, but they probably there was probably some agreement to not to keep it closed for a certain amount of time.
I know they had on that side of the street, they had different arrangements where people would take other people's water, and it was kind of complicated. Boy, it's a busy morning for this. I don't think we've ever interrupted as often. This isn't another three alarm aware. Okay, good. It wasn't. Do we have any should we move on to number six, or there's no motion on that? We've just had discussion. Again,
look for volunteers.
Yeah, one last thing was I was going to say was that we could get the email going. I keep on last time I don't know if you got the BCC emails, but I could send those out and let people know what's going on more routinely, and you know, maybe ask for help that way. The way it is now, I haven't ever emailed anyone on these lists or these committees except like this.
If you would build a list and do that, it would grow, because we would get something and somebody would say, I don't know what's going on, so we'll tell Jody.
That could be, so
it'll grow over time, but it won't do anything unless you start doing it.
So rather than have a motion, I'll just say I'm going to get more active with the email list that I have, which means that people like Pam will be getting might not welcome the emails, but I think I could make better use of that. With this PHP, we also have the ability to, you know, have an email set up with a website too, but I haven't done that, and I'm not sure I'm going to.
Keep it simple. I got one more last comment on this.
Okay.
Our neighborhood, in both neighborhoods that we're in, there are people getting older. And, you know, the use of getting out there and opening valves is getting more difficult for people. We're looking into hiring a full-time irrigator.
Oh.
A Fraser. Because it's just becoming a problem. Oh. People are not opening, closing the valves, back pressure, standbacks are all going. So, if we can look at this map and say, hey, listen, if we can... Because I know when we're getting water, we'll get water 2 days after you at Fraser. So this is how we kind of manage that time. But if we want to start looking and investigating into a part of our district as getting an irrigator and seeing how that goes, and it just helps a ton.
It's kind of a problem because I don't think we could have like the entire neighborhood do it. I think your street would be a good one because you got all those little gates and they're mostly actually on the street instead of being up and down the alleys or in people's yards. But
all the ones on the back street are in the back.
I'm thinking about
gates and you got dogs.
I'm thinking about nine.
It's midnight.
Ninth place.
I get it. I'm just saying there's an option.
Yeah.
Because now they called me this morning and says I need you to do my irrigation. I don't know if I can. I got a busy schedule.
Yeah.
I can't be your first irrigator.
Yeah, I know Linda Dorothy had that issue too. She had someone doing it, but they couldn't always open it for her. And I understand
that Dell has an open.
I don't know what's going on.
I think that would be a huge expense too on our irrigation. We have to pay somebody, you know, what?
Yeah, I can't.
12 hours, 24 hours.
I guess the thing
is,
we can't pay to have an irrigator do our entire neighborhood.
No, it would be a part of it. That's
but then it would actually be...
It's like one street.
It would actually have to be within the community that your people doing it, because we wouldn't be able to justify paying a commercial irrigator for just this part of the whole district.
That could be something the
street
could take care of.
Yeah. Our money.
I don't think we, as a district, want to be involved with that. That's a neighborhood thing.
Yep.
You guys work it out.
Yeah.
I don't want to climb over a fence, meet a dog, open up a gate.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but
being on somebody's property, you know.
Sure, no.
Well,
they need to, each individual or each neighborhood needs to figure out how they're going to do it. And, you know, hire the kid next door to come over and turn it on or whatever.
So was it Dave Fisher that's the one that can't open his own valves?
Yeah.
He was saying that he would be willing to pay somebody to do it. Problem is finding a person that's going to come and just, he worked for like 1 hour, you know, to open it and then close it and then that's it. Yeah, you have to come out, do all that.
3 in the morning when it starts.
And yes, yeah, and every third time it's going to be in the middle of the night, no matter what. So it's, but nope, I do have a name of a commercial irrigator, but I can't find it anymore. It's somewhere in there. I don't know if the person that you're hiring or considering hiring is, you know, would be willing to just do one property either. I think that would be kind of like, I don't know. Maybe that we can work it out. Are we done?
Who is this person? Where does he live?
Dave.
Dave's right out here in the middle of the block.
Oh, okay.
And his health is such that he really can't get around much.
I could help him out. I mean, I travel a lot, so I'm not home a lot, but when I am here.
I was saying, you know, I've done that before too. Again, when Linda Dorothy was having problems with her yard, I would go over there and open her valves for her. I mean, I would do that on occasion, but I'm not in the point where I'm going to say, I'm going to go out there and get your irrigation every time. Yeah.
Does he have animals?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it's kind of easy access there. There's also an issue with his gates. Bob's going to fix. Okay, so we're going to move on without a motion on that to the next one, which is options for physical location of the official announcements. It turns out that we need to have an actual physical location where we can post the announcements just for our meetings, is it? That's all we need to do.
So we need one of the old water boards.
Yeah, that's what we had. Actually, that's the disclosure statement you have to give to the county. Says that we're going to put it on the SRP board, but I don't know if anybody's noticed, SRP came and took out their board last time, so we can't put it on the SRP board there. It's not there anymore.
So Aaron Day with SRP, we asked him if he had any old ones, and they appeared at my backyard one day.
Really?
And you have extras?
I have two. We have them on the north and south end, but I just mounted them. But he said, please promise me there's no SRP logo on them. So we repainted them white. And someone's going to put a logo of Fraser Fields on both of them. But it's an old bus.
That would be ideal.
He gave me two, and they disappeared in my backyard. And he goes, you don't know where you got these. So I said, because we need to post day again, Aaron Day, and say, hey, I need two more, or however more I think we need. But
I think if you took one board, we're doing this just for legal requirements. Nobody looks at it.
But you'd be surprised.
The middle right here of this this district, and I think there's a standpipe right here going down between 10th Street and 10th or 9th Place.
Yeah.
This alley, in other words,
on the west side.
On the west side, right here.
What you've built in the fence.
If you put a board right there, and just stuck it right there where the standpipe is, where everybody driving by can see it, we could put on here that this is the announcement board for this district, and that should satisfy the requirement.
I would like that. I would like to actually have a board.
Yep.
What I've been doing.
If you can get one, otherwise we'll just take a post and put a piece of plywood.
Yeah, I've been taping it to the standpipe. Hey, it's, you know, it's posted.
Yeah,
so if you go to that standpipe on Westward between.
I looked at this morning.
Ninth Place and 10th Street, I just pasted it on there. As far as I'm concerned, it meets the requirements, but it's not professional. It doesn't really.
If we could get one of those boards that opens up.
In the board, we have a picture of the map. Each street is labeled, you know, blue, yellow, green. And then there's a little tag down there that says, call this person for an issue. So they run to the board, open up. I live on the green street. call Jason Gonzalez. If I have an issue, your name is not on there at all. You get the trustee's off.
So that.
And then that board yeah. just posted with a map, contact information, and then your.
We can do much like that. Where I'm, that standpipe that I was talking about, I don't think there's room for an SRP board there. I think the ideal location would be the same place that it was originally.
Yeah.
If we did that, and it's in our right of way, if SRP can stick it there, I don't see why we can't stick it there either. And if it doesn't say SRP on it, are they going to come and take it away again? Or
yeah, we painted over the logo.
So, but there, if we stuck it in the same place, they're not going to come and take it away again like they did last time. I wish I'd.
You just take the SRPs. They don't want to.
It didn't even say SRP on it. It already been painted.
You can just stencil the eye and whatever.
So you can do that though? You could get us a board and we could.
I can confirm.
Okay.
Anyone, but I will call.
If not, we can look in just, you can buy some outdoor boards that don't cost much and still
put it in. I'll make one. We can't get it. But until then, if we need to post something, I think we just tape it on the on that standpipe again.
Okay.
I don't think it'd be a bad thing to put a board there either.
I don't think a board would fit between 9th.
Well, yeah, because there's a whole section of grass along there. It could go just south of that standpipe.
True, but and I guess we do have a right of way there too,
yeah,
because that's the pipe goes care. Right underneath there. I don't know in the past. I'm going to take that standpipe. I can't remember. I don't have that. Might not be a bad place to put one either. So yeah, that would be the same place.
I think my granddaughter lives there in that house.
Oh,
yeah,
field,
yeah, rural field,
garden. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have, they're connected to the standpipe, actually goes into their backyard from the standpipe.
The fence is built around yeah. the standpipe. And their water, their ebony comes out of the side okay. of the standpipe.
So what I'm going to suggest, I'm not going to put this into a motion, but, Michael?
Rather than that, or maybe in addition to that, I actually saw the notice on the standpipe before I got the mail notice. Would it make sense to do that same notice on multiple standpipes? Just tape it on there, you know, within the time frame before the meeting, and
I could.
And it wouldn't make too much. And all on you. You could have several members that are on the board. You know, just designate which standpipe is their responsibility, and they just tape it on there, and
well,
and then they'll take responsibility for taking it off after the.
It's only required that we put it in one location.
We're only doing this because of the requirement.
Right.
Notify everybody by mail.
Yeah, if everybody's getting mail, we're not required to send out the mail notices, but we do that. So everybody's getting a message.
We're sticking it on there.
And it's on the website. So that would kind of put more work on us to go and paste notices on all the standpipes.
Is the mailing a requirement?
No, we don't have to send out the mailings. All we really, if we've got the website and we've got a notice, and the way that the disclosure notices, they're kind of assuming that you have an office and they even post it in your office and everybody is going to see it. As a matter of fact, when Gunn was here, he was suggested putting it in like a Mesa Public Schools office, as it's just a technical thing. But I think it would. I think having a notice board and actually have it, it's a place where we can put more information than just simply the meetings. You know, it could even turn into a community board if we wanted to be really ambitious about it. It could go beyond irrigation. So we need to keep after this. I'm going to keep on nagging Jay. And if that doesn't fall through, I'm going to look into just purchasing a board And I still think that that location where the old irrigation board is pretty good. And but also
we can't get one. You just had a board, a piece of plywood on the ground, and then you put it in a piece of plastic and taped it there. It would be.
They're not that expensive. I priced them a little bit. Actually, let's try to figure this out right now. Okay, so maybe forget about putting it where the old notice board was. Let's go with Brant's location. And since you say that it's, you know, the person that lives there, let's go with the location next to the standpipe where it is now on Westwood between 9th Place and 10th Street as the location for the board.
That's a center kind of with the whole.
Yeah.
And if Jay can't get one of those boards from SRP, I will look into just purchasing one because they're not that expensive. You don't have to roll. They can be expensive. They don't have to be.
And I'll tell them to go in their junk pile and give me one.
Well, again, if we're going to put up a board, try to make it attractive. Your relative doesn't want to have like a
we'll paint
an attractive board out there. Okay, so move that we follow up on that according to, I don't know, how do I put that into a motion? Move that we put up an irrigation notification board by the standpipe between 9th Place and 10th Street on Westwood.
I second it.
All right, the motion passed.
What's
that?
Oh, it's you guys are the only voting people?
Yeah.
We were the only people that are actually able to vote.
You guys are witnesses.
Really hokey that you one makes a motion, the other seconds, and so
on. I know, it's easier with three people. That way we can actually have a vote where we don't. But I'm sure Jay knows that too, right? If you have the meeting set. Yeah. I mean, we could have everybody vote too, but ours is the only votes that count.
Okay.
But you're free to vote if you want. It's okay. Just say aye. So, where are we? We're getting pretty close to the end.
We're all through here.
Actually, we are.
Next meeting. That's so far away, we don't know what we want there.
So, next thing is the. Call to the public. Does anything have anything that we didn't discuss today that you would like to put on the agenda for our next meeting? These meetings, I'm going to try to keep them in the same place, same time. Last Saturday in June seems to work pretty well. Anybody have anything that
just
we
just
haven't
one question.
Discussed?
Is there any set of pipes that's going to be cleaned this year?
Uh-huh.
Cleaned out?
The hydrojetting pipes?
Do we have anything like that happening this year?
No, we discussed it earlier. We said we would do it only if there's a need for it. We were going to like put it out as being done on a regular basis, but we talked about it at the last meeting and thought it would be easier just to do it whenever we see a need for it.
You know, I've had a problem at my house. Because I can order more water, I just ordered more time. It's getting better here, so.
David did have an issue with his, but it's kind of one that you need to take care of on your own because we did hydrojet that.
But if it gets bad, then we complain and we fix it. That's what we'll do.
Yeah.
That's what our plan is.
Should I tell them about your standpipe issue? Because you weren't getting as much water as you were. We hydrojetted it. It didn't take care of the problem.
What happened is they hydrojetted the pipe that went all the way down the alley. But the one that goes over under the alley to my place wasn't hydrojetted, and I'm sure there's some kind of obstruction there. But I solved the problem because I can get an hour and a half of water, and I was only doing 45 minutes, and now I just take an hour and 10 minutes and I get enough water, so.
But there is a standby in the backyard of North Dakota, and most likely it's goes.
I'm just too lazy to get down there and fix it.
Yeah, so. So, since we don't have anything else, I move that we adjourn this meeting.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for being interested. And you know, what we really need is a lot more neighborhood communication to make it work, especially a new guy. It's amazing how people are. I've had people throw out their irrigation and put in sprinkler pipes because they're too lazy to get up in the middle of the night to do it. And that's fine, but it costs them a lot of money. And if they understand how to do it and work with it, people just need to be trained. I grew up on a farm and we had to irrigate every 2 weeks all my life, so.
I had an informational piece where, you guys remember it was 2024, it was a summer where it was getting 120, 122. It was so hot that summer that I had a huge pine tree die in my front yard, even though it was getting irrigated. You couldn't put your arms around it, it was so big. It had probably been there since the house had been built in 1960, but